over and over again, I tried to let the entire book reflect this, that the holiness of all the saints is only the holiness of Jesus reflected in their lives.
Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the new book, Celebrating the Saints.
And this holiness of Christ is the thing which the saints grabbed onto in faith, and it illumined their lives.
You can purchase Celebrating the Saints by calling 1-800-325-3040 or at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, we take up our weekly feature with Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, this week in Pop American Christianity. Have you ever noticed how popular all things Jewish are in American evangelicalism, while at the same time, things Christian, like Christian feasts and festivals and liturgical observances, are all considered too Roman Catholic or too old-fashioned? Why is that? That's the first question I've got for Pastor Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Why is it, not just the examples we're going to hear today, which are kind of the big glaring examples, but American evangelicalism in general, fascinated with things Jewish, the Jewish feast and festival calendar, while things Christian are kind of eschewed?
Well, part of this has to do with the fact that there's a very strong dispensational strain of theology within evangelicalism. And dispensationalism has a kind of a weird view of the nation state of Israel, that it's going to play a very key role in end times prophecy post-rapture. And so they're very confused about what it is that makes a person a Christian, especially if that person is Jewish. And so, as a result of it, they have an almost unquestioning support of all things that are taking place within the nation state of Israel. There is a growing fascination with the Hebrew roots of Christianity, but the one thing that they are all united on is they cannot stand anything that smacks or even hints, tastes like, or smells like that it could have come from Roman Catholicism. And as a result of it, they really do not value or pay attention to anything as far as the ancient history of Christianity.
We're going to be hearing first here examples of these televangelists who are using the Jewish fall feasts to fleece their viewers. One, Larry Huck. Who is he, and what should we be listening for?
Okay, Larry Huck is a televangelist on a couple of different networks, and this guy is slick. He and his wife have a ministry called Larry Huck Ministries. And what we're going to be listening to specifically is that now that we're coming up on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the fall feast days within the Mosaic Covenant, I'm going to use those terms, Mosaic Covenant, not Jewish, but Mosaic Covenant, because Christians are no longer obligated to observe the Mosaic Covenant or its feast days. He's going to point to what the Bible says, but he's going to twist it in a way where he's going to basically set this thing up as some, you know, kind of creating an expectation that this is a biblically promised blessing season. And of course, you know, in his theology, God doesn't just give his blessings out for free. There are conditions that must first be met in order to receive them. But let's hear him as he sets this up.
Hey, everybody, we're Larry and Tiz Huck, and welcome to today's broadcast. Let me give you a scripture here real quick. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, it says, call on the Lord while he is near. Mm. Now, what does that mean? Because we know God is God 24/7. His mercy is fresh every morning. And yet the scriptures say that we are to call on the Lord while he is near. Mm. There are certain times on God's appointed calendar that the power of God, the mercy of God, the blessing of God is closer to us, more powerful than any other time of the year.
Yeah.
Right now, this month is one of those appointed times. As a matter of fact, the Bible says God leaves the throne and he meets you in your field. Get ready. We're going to talk about Bible prophecy and your best is yet to come.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with God's calendar when he says, call upon the Lord while he is near. Yeah. He's the same God, but there are certain months on Passover, on Pentecost, and during the month of Elul, going in the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles, God's blessing, God's power, God's mercy, God's financial outpouring is greater. Mm. And of all three, this is the month. Yeah. Of all three, this is the month in which God's blessing is the greatest.
Okay, so he did more than set up. He's making some big promises there. What did we just hear, Chris?
Okay, so what Larry Huck is doing is he's making an appeal to Scripture. And this is where it gets actually quite fascinating, is that he's able to, in some way, although he's engaging in a twisting of Scripture, he's in some way able to point to the Mosaic Covenant and the fine print of the details regarding the feast days that were established, that the people of Israel must that they had to obey and observe while the Mosaic Covenant was in effect, and there were promises of blessings and cursings if the people of Israel actually followed all of the rules of the Mosaic Covenant, or curses if they didn't. And so in one way he's correctly pointing out that God did promise blessings for those who obeyed the Mosaic Covenant, including the feast days. But the problem is he's not making any distinction regarding whether or not the Mosaic Covenant is in effect and what parts of the Mosaic Covenant, if any, have any abiding authority over the life of a Christian. And so because he basically assumes, and rightly so, that people are biblically illiterate, that they're not going to be able to untangle the twisted scriptures that he's put together, and many of them will believe what he is saying because he says it so passionately, and his wife is sitting there making the yummy sound, you know, with each assertion that he makes. And so he's saying that God is promising to bless you if you obey these feasts, and he's making some absurd claims that somehow, you know, God is closer, or that this is the time of the year when God leaves the throne and is, you know, it's almost like Santa Claus, you know, he's going to show up in your town and meet you, and this is a time when there's an appointment that God has made to, you know, to meet with you, and all he wants to do is open up his big goodie bag and bless you financially and all this kind of stuff. But there's always a stipulation when it comes to the way the televangelists, use these feast days, and the stipulation is you can't actually show up to celebrate these feast days empty-handed. You are expected to show up by them and by God with a first fruits offering or a Passover offering or some kind of a feast offering, because it's all about demonstrating to God that you don't love money more than him, and the way you prove that to God is by sending your money to a televangelist like Larry Huck.
So he's got a little more to say. What's the next thing we're going to hear from Larry Huck?
Now we're going to hear what it is that we've got to do in order to activate these fall feast blessings that God wants to give us during these times when he's so close and is blessing more than usual.
But for you and I,
amen,
who return unto him with our first fruit offering, we are saying, God, we are returning unto you. We're returning to our first love.
Yeah.
The world loves money.
Yeah.
Loving money is the taproot of all sin. Loving money more than God. Money's not bad.
Right.
Money is good. God says, I'll open you up the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing. Yeah. But the way we show that we don't love money more than God is just like Israel did in Malachi.
Yeah.
Return to him in our tithes and in our offering, our first fruit offering. And we're making God our first love,
absolutely,
not mammon our first love.
Yeah.
And then God opens the windows of heaven.
So, Chris, who's getting paid?
Larry Huck is getting a very large paycheck with this fall feast, because I mean, you Todd, don't you want to show God that that money doesn't have a grip on your heart? And the way you do that is by sending money to Larry Huck. That'll prove to God that you don't love money more than him, because it's a first fruit offering during this feast day, you know, feast season, and God's blessing. And so you demonstrate to God that you love him more than money, and then he'll bless you. So make your check payable to Larry Huck Ministries and send it to Larry Huck Ministries, care of Dallas, Texas. You know, and then, you know, that will demonstrate, prove to God definitively that you're returning to him, that money doesn't have a grip on your heart and your mind. But it's obvious what's going on here. The one who's going to benefit from your demonstrating to God that you don't love money so much is Larry Huck. He's going to get every bit of that money that you're sending in order to prove that you don't love money.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about televangelists using Jewish fall feast to fleece their viewers. When we come back, a little from Rod Parsley. He's a evergreen one of those, and I'm sure that he's got a new way of fleecing his viewers using the Jewish fall festivals. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Confessional, liturgical, sacramental. Lutheran Church of the Redeemer is located in Columbus, Georgia, right next to Fort Benning, Georgia, off of Exit 7 on I-185. Come receive our Lord Jesus' gifts of forgiveness and grace every Sunday in the Divine Service. For more information, visit our website, RedeemerColumbusGA.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about some televangelists using Jewish fall feasts to fleece their viewers. The next one is an oldie but a goodie, Rod Parsley. Who is he, and what should we be listening for here?
Well, Rod Parsley is the host of the television program called Breakthrough, and he's been around for a while, and he's also discovered the lucrative payday that he's able to get during the Jewish fall feast, and he's got his own spin on it. I mean, that's kind of the funny thing, is that when you look at what these televangelists are doing, each of them are offering different blessings, if you would. And so, if you were to approach this the same way you would make a decision like on which credit card company that you wanted to go with, you know, sometimes you make a decision, well, this particular credit card offers airline miles, this one gives cash back, and so you have to kind of weigh which of the benefits is really the thing that's most important so that you can make a decision on which credit card. I often think, when I listen to the different blessings that the different televangelists are offering during the fall feast, if the discerning consumer of this type of television should say, well, Rod Parsley during this season is offering these blessings, Larry Huck is offering these blessings, I think I want those ones better than those ones, so I'll send my money to that guy. It's ridiculous how this all works out, but I'll let him introduce his take on the fall feast.
Welcome to Your Breakthrough. As we prepare our hearts together today, now, I need your agreement, so come on in. We're going to celebrate, we're going to commemorate the great day of atonement when the blood of a sacrificial offering was made every year as an atonement to bring humanity into at-one-ment, atonement with God Almighty. It's God's holiest. I need to underscore that. It's God's holiest day of the entire year. It's the centerpiece of the third and final feast season, which we're commanded of God every year. And in Deuteronomy 16:16, God commands us to come before Him. Well, who would have to be commanded? The invitation is enough. God says the table is spread. Come. Who would turn away? To come before Him, and in so doing, He would release to us a very specific blessing. Now, this year, the Day of Atonement has even greater significance. It's also the conclusion of God's designated year of Jubilee, year of freedom, of restoration, of divine favor. It follows a four red blood moon cycle, which had not appeared for 500 years, will not appear again for 500 years, and then 50 years before another Jubilee. So mark your calendar to join me. Now, your prayer request will be placed on the altar for a once-in-a-lifetime Jubilee atonement celebration. Now, I know you want to be a part of it.
So, okay, he's got an altar, we're back in the Jubilee years.
Mm-hmm.
The atonement he's talking about doesn't sound like Christ's atonement to me.
No, and see, that's really the problem with all of this. And I'd like to give a biblical text to kind of help us out here. In the book of Colossians, chapter 2, here's what the Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talking about how that Christ has canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, and He put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food, of drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. And we learn from the book of Hebrews that, the blood of animals that was sacrificed on the Day of Atonement wasn't the real thing. The thing that really saves us is the blood of Christ shed on the cross, and the Day of Atonement pointed to what Christ did for us on the cross. So what He did, and I'll point this out, is that Rod Parsley referenced Deuteronomy 16:16. which says this: three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, at the Feast of Booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given to you. And so he says, well, and if you notice, if you go back, you listen, he said that the Lord has commanded us to appear before him and to celebrate these feast days. And the reality is that we Christians have not been commanded by God to celebrate these feast days. This is where you have to make an important distinction. The people who were commanded to appear before the Lord and observe these feast days were the ancient Israelites, and you know, under the Mosaic covenant. Now that Christ has come, all of the types and shadows point to him. The temple is no longer there. Christians are not required to celebrate the Passover, the Feast of Booths, the Day of Atonement. Christ, the substance of what those things were pointing to, has appeared, and we are under the New Covenant, which has a different feast altogether, and that is the feast of the Lord's Supper, of his body and blood broken and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. And so what Rod Parsley is doing is purposely twisting scripture in order to, well, make a buck. That's really what he's doing.
And he has this notion that, you know, because scripture does clearly say that the Lord's mercy is new every day, and that it's never in short supply. And there's not, we're not sitting there watching to see how the moon's conjunction of moons to figure out when God's going to be more merciful or more gracious than another time. Then he even goes so far as to say it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, as though, well, the rest of those people who didn't happen to live in this lifetime and have this opportunity, screw you.
Yes, that's one way of putting it. And I would note that his method for divining when these blessings are is more akin to astrology than biblical theology. It's kind of some weird Jewish form of astrology that they're engaging in. There were four blood moons, it must mean this kind of stuff. But that it's like a Jewish form of astrology. This is not an actual teaching regarding what God has revealed in his word on what's binding for Christians and how God blesses. This is totally beyond the pale. And unfortunately, because American evangelicalism is so biblically illiterate, when you attend a megachurch where you're not taught God's word and you're not catechized properly, you become a potential victim for, you know, these types of Bible twisters and fleecers.
Okay, but before we go to the break, let's hear another example. We're going to be introduced to Steve Muncy. Who's that?
Yeah. Well, Steve Muncy appeared with Rod Parsley, and Rod Parsley introduced him and claimed that the Lord is speaking to him about the specific things, blessings that he's going to do, and one really important development regarding these particular fall feasts as to something that God may be doing right now.
Today, we have an extraordinary blessing, because every year I wait for the revelation that God gives this tremendous prophet of God, pastor, teacher, all of the fivefold ministry office gifts. I don't know anybody that wins souls like he does. He's my dear friend, and I wait every year to hear what God has revealed to him regarding these feast seasons. Everybody waits on it all year for Dr. Steve Muncy to be back with me right here on Breakthrough.
Thank you.
Great to have you.
Thank you, Dr. Lee.
Share with us what the Holy Spirit's saying to you.
You just got done saying the Jubilee, which is very, very powerful, because God's been waiting all year long, and on the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, it will be released. Mm. We had the blood moons at the beginning, and then we begin to talk about what God's going to do with favor. Yeah. You're going to get out of debt. In fact, every one of you that are watching, God has planned the rest of your life. Most of you that are watching will never experience another Jubilee.
Right.
So God plans the rest of your life if you prepare your faith to believe for the season.
My goodness.
On the evening of Atonement, well, really it's Rosh Hashanah 10 days before, God will release all of the Jubilee blessings for the next 50 years. If you live 40 years, 30 years, 10 years, 2 years, they will be released upon you. That's the reason why that this season is such a powerful season. Listen closely to this. The reason why this breakthrough program and Dr. Parsley, pastor and apostle, has brought this message is because, no doubt, in just a few days, God will make the decision if he's going to let the rapture of the church take place.
Wow, share that.
No doubt.
No man knows the day or the hour, except apparently Steve Muncy.
Right. But notice how he said that. God right now is going to decide whether or not he's going to release the rapture. So apparently, just kind of putting the best construction on this, we understand that the rapture is actually the return of Christ in glory to judge the living and the dead and us being snatched up with him in the clouds. apparently God hasn't decided yet when the end of the world is going to take place, when Jesus is going to return. So as part of all of the Jewish feast seasons of this year, God's up there going, all right, okay, is this the time when I'm finally going to wrap up human history and be done with it? Yeah, because I haven't made this decision yet. I mean, this is so absurd on its face. It's unbelievable that anyone would sit there and go, oh yeah, this man's really hearing from God. I've got to write my check and send in my first fruit offerings for for Rosh Hashanah and the Day of Atonement, because this guy's really on it. And I hope that by sending in that check, that God will decide favorably for us whether or not to send the rapture soon.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're hearing examples of televangelists using Jewish fall feasts to fleece their viewers. One more when we come back.
Long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
To
Issues, Etc. has been brought to you in part this week by the Master of Arts in Theology program at Concordia University, Irvine, California. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus summer sessions. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology, cui.edu/theology. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about televangelists using the Jewish fall feast to fleece their viewers. You have one more example for us, and is this from Muncie as well?
No, this one's actually going back to Larry Huck, and this one takes a little bit of a setup in this sense. One of the things that Larry Huck is currently doing is his ministry partners, the people who send in their first fruits offering for the feast days, one of the things that he has, at a particular giving level, promised to send them is a Jewish hand-washing cup, or actually pitcher. And this is the exact same type of pitcher used by the Pharisees and condemned by Jesus as as a doctrine of man. You read the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, where the Pharisees take issue with Jesus because his disciples don't wash their hands. There is no command in the Mosaic covenant to wash your hands, but the rabbinic teaching was that you had to wash your hands, and Jesus didn't respect the rabbinic teaching at all. So in this little soundbite, you're going to hear some fascinating theology, and he's going to say where this comes from rabbinic teaching. He'll talk about how hand washing is a form of baptism, and then he's going to explain how this year for the Day of Atonement at his congregation, he will be rebaptizing people because, according to rabbinic teaching, we need to be rebaptized once a year, and pay attention to the promises then associated with this rebaptism that we're supposed to be receiving because of rabbinic teaching.
The washing of our hands is a tremendous weapon. It's a form of baptism. And you know, we're going to have a baptism here at the church during the high holidays on October 7th, 8th, and 9th. 7th is a Friday night. We're going to have a special Sabbath service on the 8th. I will, if you come to Dallas, I will personally baptize you. I will personally go. We have built a kosher mikvah.
Yeah.
I'm actually bringing water to anoint the mikvah from a mikvah that Jesus, they just discovered at the Sea of Galilee, at the mouth of the River Jordan, where Jesus undoubtedly would have entered into the mikvah. I'm getting special permission to bring water back.
Yep.
We're going to anoint our mikvah here, and this is the time that we are to be baptized again.
Amen.
At least once a year, you have to be rebaptized, and it breaks the limitations of this world on you. And the reason why I'm going to baptize you, the rabbinical teaching is that when you go into a mikvah, you are born again. In other words, every curse, every limitation is off of you.
Yeah.
And then the next person, when you come up out of the water, you touch, their anointing comes on you.
Mm.
If you'll come to Dallas, I'm gonna personally baptize you, break every curse off your life, and release an anointing.
Chris, he's just making stuff up, isn't he?
He really is. But you know, he's throwing Hebrew and Hebrew words around and referencing rabbinic teaching, which of course none of us are familiar with at all. He may as well be selling us magic beans, is the way I look at it, because the things that he's saying are nowhere taught in Scripture. And even if he were correctly teaching what rabbinic, ideas are, or rabbinic theology, we're not bound by the teachings of the Mishnah and the Talmud and rabbinic teachings at all. And so, I mean, he's literally, I don't even want to say this is a form of the Judaizing heresy. This is more like a Judaizing-ish heresy that he's engaging in. But I mean, this is one of some of the more absurd things I've heard in a while. And the reality, he has no shame, and people listening are going, well, he's on TBN, and TBN's a Christian station, so this has got to be the truth, and so I'm going to go get rebaptized. I'm going to travel to Dallas so that I can be rebaptized. They've recreated a mikveh, and they anointed it with water from a mikveh that Jesus himself was probably baptized in, and according to Larry Huck, I got to get baptized once a year if I want to break off all these curses and financial disasters and things like that. And so this is like witchcraft is the best way I could put it, because not only is this not taught in Scripture, this is like from some kind of magical worldview that if you, you know, we're all the way back now in evangelicalism to something akin to medieval Catholicism, that if you travel to Rome and you know, climb these stairs on your knees and say, you know, 15 Hail Marys and 12 Our Fathers, that you're going to get a special blessing from God. It's really in the same vein as that.
So in a nutshell, with only about 20 seconds here, this teaching has departed from Christianity.
Yes, Christ has left the building. This has nothing whatsoever to do with biblical Christianity or even a biblical worldview. I don't know what this is except for the ravings of very greedy people and why people who call themselves Christians tolerate and support stuff like this is beyond me.
What's it lined up for Fighting for the Faith tonight, Chris?
Today we're going to take a look at how evangelicals handle the story of Jonah and then wrap up our summaries. We've worked our way through every one of the sermons from the Code Orange Revival, and we're up to the final one, so we'll be taking a listen to that.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. in just about 5 minutes at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to continue our conversation with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House. We've been doing a long series with him on the Lutheran Confessions, those foundational documents from the 16th century Lutheran Reformation. We are in Luther's Large Catechism. We'll be talking about the sacrament of the altar, that is the Lord's Supper, a very, very important topic in our conversation next week on Issues Etc. We'll also continue our other Reformation series, Martin Luther and the Reformation, with Dr. Ken Sherb. And, as usual, we'll get an update on the November elections with journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc. I'll talk with you Monday.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.